Well, yesterday we talked about faith and we said this. Faith hears, here's the word. Faith speaks the word. Faith believes the word. Faith receives or takes the word. Faith possesses, glory to God. Faith loves, Galatians says. Faith works by love. If you want to be a receiver, you have to be a lover. Glory to God. Yesterday, I don't think I read this, but Keith Moore, I heard him preach a great sermon on this, or I probably heard it on a CD, and he was talking about believe you receive, and he gave the definition of receive. So we know we're to believe we receive when we pray. That really means to take it when you pray. If you don't take the answer when you pray, you don't got it. You say, well, that's not fair. Yeah, it's fair. Because we know how to take it. How do we take it? By our faith. We believe we receive it, or we take it when we pray. It means to take, to lay hold of, to take in order to carry away, to take what is one's own, to take to oneself, to claim, procure for oneself of that which has been taken, of that which when taken, is not let go. See, when we take something by faith, if it's a healing, if it's a car, if it's a job, when we take something by faith, here's the definition of that taking. To seize, apprehend, to get possession of, to obtain a thing, to appropriate to oneself, to strive to obtain, to collect, to gather. This is from Thayer's Greek English lexicon. Not to refuse or reject, to take. Glory to God. We take it when we pray. If we don't take it when we pray and keep it, we're not exercising our faith. So if it's money we need, if it's a certain amount, or if it's a job, or if it's healing, or if it's our children's salvation, when we pray and we ask God for it, we do what the scripture says. We believe we receive it, or that word receive means take it. We believe we take it when we pray. Now, if we take it, we have it. So we leave that place of prayer with it, not hoping it's going to work, not hoping it's going to come to pass, but we took it. What did we take? We took the answer, whatever it is that we wanted when we prayed. So what do we do from then on? We thank God for it. Thank you, Lord, for $10,000. I had to have that, and I appreciate it. I took it when I prayed. I have it. I have it. I have it. We don't let go of it. Now, Keith said this. You can't leave up to the Lord what He has left up to you. And I thought that was so profound. He's got it. This scripture, this CD, I believe, was Believe You Receive. But anyway, it's powerful, powerful message, so order it and get it. You can't leave up to the Lord what He has left up to you. So whatever it is that we are receiving, we have to take it, believe we receive it, hold fast to it until it manifests. That's our part, is to take, based on the Word of God, whatever God's promise is in that Word. Faith is a receiver, an appropriator, a taker. Can you see how sometimes we just pray and we just go into la-la land and we forget what we prayed about? We didn't take it. We forget about it. Somebody mentions it. We're still depressed about it. We've got to take it. Amen? You see what it is. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You can only take and lay hold of what has been given to you from heaven, what we see and hear, we can take and lay hold of. But the other half of it is, no matter what has been given to you, unless you take hold of it and receive it and take it by faith, you won't enjoy it. You won't have it. So faith is really easy when you get the hang of it and when you see the revelation of it. Faith is taking in prayer based on the Word of God what we desire in our heart. Hallelujah. Now, if it's a bad thing, you can't find it in the Word of God. So it's working for good things. But God wants us to have be blessed. He wants us to have plenty. He wants us to be out from under the curse of the law, which included every bad thing, and to be under the blessing, which included every good thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What God has provided by grace must be possessed by faith. See, the things that Jesus has given to us are not automatically put into our hands. Why? Because we're supposed to receive them from the Word of God. We're supposed to take them. We take our healing. Healing has always belonged to us ever since Jesus bore the curse. And so has prosperity and all the other good things. Everything bad is under the curse. Jesus took everything under the curse and bore it for us so that everything good, which is the blessing, could come upon us. But we don't just get that while we sleep. We have to receive it. So if we need money, a certain amount of money, we go before the Lord, we ask Him for it, we believe we receive it, we take hold of it, we take hold of it, we take hold of it, and we keep it until it is in our pocketbook, until it is done. That's the way we do our healing. We take it, we stand on that word, by stripes we were healed, until every symptom's gone. That is walking by faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I'm going to reread the things we talked about faith, and I'm not even going to give you the scriptures. I'm just going to tell you the different things. We said faith hears the word. Faith believes the word. Faith speaks the word. I gave you scriptures for these yesterday or whenever I spoke last. Faith takes possession. Galatians 5 says faith works by love. So we have to, faith loves. If you're not going to walk in love, you're not going to have strong faith. Faith works by love. If you want to be a receiver, you have to be a lover. Glory to God. So it says, faith is a fighter. We fight, according to Timothy, we fight the good fight of faith. So we can see by that that the devil's not just going to roll over and play dead instantly, probably. Are easily. But when we take something by faith, we stand and we believe God and we say we have it until we see it, feel it, enjoy it. Faith fights. Faith is a taker. We take, and faith works by love. Faith is not afraid because we know that the Word of God will work for us if we release our faith. And God's word, it causes and promises and provides for us every need met, everything we need. Not just material things, spiritual things, but every kind of thing that we need is given to us by God. God is good. Faith fights. Faith's not afraid. And then on the other hand, in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, we see that sin hinders. So we're not going to walk in the blessing of God and live in sin. No, the blessing, if you look in Deuteronomy 28, the blessing was for those who did what God said. If you didn't do what God said, you were under the curse. So it's not just happy days are here again. We do what God says. Amen. We obey the Word. When we see something in the Word that we realize we've been missing it, we're not been doing it, we let the Word correct us. Now, some of you that don't know how it works, you might think, well, that's a bummer, always having to do the Word. No, that's the way you get free. That's the way you really enjoy life. That's the way you get out from under the curse, which is everything bad, by obeying the Word of God, and by believing the Word of God, we go free from the curse. Hallelujah. That's the way we get healed. That's the way we stay healed. That's the way we prosper. That's the way we stay prosperous. That's the way we prosper in every cycle. The world around us may be in trouble. They may be in a recession, a depression. But we're not in trouble. We're in Christ Jesus. We're in the Word. We're operating, and we're tithers and sowers. We're operating in an entirely different realm than what natural people operate in. Glory to God. In our healing of our bodies, our finances, everything. They know we're different. We are different. Those people, you know, they're different. Absolutely we are. And we like it this way. Hallelujah. Because freedom is wonderful. And so the scripture says, I'm just going to go over some things that kind of hang us up. It teaches us that sin hinders, God blesses the obedient, and it says in 2 Corinthians 13, 5, I believe, examine yourselves and not God. This is the Amplified. And when you're in a test and a trial, when things don't seem to be working for you, and you want to think, well, why didn't God listen to me? Why doesn't He do something? He knows I'm in trouble. Why not? Why not? Let me just give you a little hint. It's never God's fault. If things aren't working for me, or things are working for you, we look at you and me and see where we're missing it. Is it our words? Are we saying wrong? If we say we don't have it, we don't have it. We have to say we have it even when we can't see it. That's what faith is. Believe in you, receive when you pray. You haven't seen it yet, but you've taken it. That word receive is to take. You take it when you pray, hallelujah. Then you don't let the devil talk you out of it. Well, you know, it's been a week and you don't have it yet. We don't listen to him. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's come to steal what's mine and what's yours. Don't let him have it. We walk by faith and not by sight. Sin hinders, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And God blesses obedience. And then 2 Corinthians says, examine yourselves, not God. Now, I like this quote from Andrew Murray, and I have it in my King James margin that I have added myself. Where is it? Let me see if I can find that. Glory to God. It's all about faith. It's all about obeying God, doing what He says. When you do what the Word says, you don't leave Satan any room to work in your life. All right, let's see. See if I can find that. Okay. Now I can't read my writing. I got to get a little help here. Let us run. This is what Andrew Murray said about verse 1, where it says in Hebrews, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses that have gone before us, in other words, let us lay aside every weight, everything that would slow you down, everything that would keep you from winning this race. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. So that lets us know right there that sin is easy. Hey, it's easy. I mean, you and me, when you and I walk out of love, when we get out of love, it's sin. That's our commandment. It's so easy to be touchy, fretful, resentful, to pay attention to a suffered wrong. But we're not being obedient when we're that way. And so it's easy for the sin, that is a sin that besets us. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Now listen to this part. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now that lets you know it's not going to be a walk in the park. We're going to have to run this faith race with patience. It takes patience to have everything going in the right direction. But then when you think about it, think about Ken and me. We borrowed money for years. We were in debt. It took us a while to get in that shape, and it took us a while to get out of it. What did we have to do? Well, we had to run the race with patience. But thank God it was worth it. We got out of debt. We stayed out of debt. Let us run the race with patience that is set before us, laying aside every weight. Don't let anything hold you back. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we don't quit at hardship when it's hard, you know, when it gets tough, when it looks like nothing's happening. We've released our faith. We're sowers. We're tithers. We've released our faith, but seems like we're not getting anywhere. We do not throw up our hands and say, it didn't work. No, we stand. We stand on the word of faith. Faith stands on the word of God. Faith believes it receives when it prays, and it does not quit until the manifestation comes. It took us 11 months to get out of debt, but thank God we got out of debt. What would have happened if we'd have said, well, you know, we've been living this way so long, there's no hope for us. We'll never get out of this. Are you kidding? We'd probably owe $1 billion by now, the way we do things. And it's just no good. Faith is easier than having credit. Because when you have credit, that's not the end of it. That's the beginning of it. When you believe you receive it by faith and you get it, it's over. You got it. You're driving it. You're living in it. You're enjoying it. You're healed. Glory to God. So really, when you think about it, it seems like sometimes faith's the slow way. But when you think about 36 months of payments, it's the easy way and the fast way. Amen. Because when you take it, and that's what that means, receive means to take. Receive it by faith means take it by faith. So yesterday, we said faith hears, faith believes the word, faith receives, faith takes, faith possesses, faith loves, and faith fights. Faith is not afraid, glory to God. Sin hinders, on the other hand. God blesses obedience. And then in 2 Corinthians, I don't think I read this, I might have already read it, but 2 Corinthians in the Amplified Bible in 13:5 says this. When you're at a hard place, when things don't seem to be working, when you don't seem to be getting any headway on those bills, you don't quit and cave in, and you don't blame God. You don't say, God, I've been believing for this, and I have not gotten it, and it's been 3 months. I've not gotten it. In other words, God, what are you doing on your day off? Where are you? But here's what we do instead. In a struggle, when things don't seem to be working, we look at 2 Corinthians 13:5 in the Amplified. It says, here's what we do. In a struggle, in other words, examine and test and evaluate your own selves to see whether you are holding to the faith and showing the proper fruits of it. Test and prove yourselves, not Christ. So when things don't seem to be working, we don't say, Jesus, what you been doing here? No. We say, Gloria, what have you been doing? What have you been saying? I'm telling you, that saying part, that's something. You get a hold of your words, you got something. I mean, you have got a mighty weapon. But as long as you say, oh, at church, you know, we're believing we receive, we're out of debt, oh, hallelujah, glory to God, and the hallelujah chorus sings. Then you go home, and the week goes by, 2 weeks goes by, you get a bill you can't pay, and you forget all about being out of debt. What do you do when you come up against obstacles like that? You stay in your faith. You believe God. You keep believing God. If you still got a payment you've got to make, you believe God for it. Lord, help me. Now we're standing to be out of debt. Help me. I believe I've received this thing paid. Don't start saying it's not working. Faith will work, but we have to work it. Glory to God. And that's what we are. We're faith people. You know, a lot of people, a lot of Christians, they wrinkle up their nose and they say, they're faith. You know, in other words, they're fanatics. They're far out. Yes, amen. We are fanatics. We are far out. We are out of debt. Our needs are met. We're not sick. Far out. Don't be insulted when somebody wrinkles up their nose at you. Just say, yes, praise God. It's the truth, Lord. I'm a faithful people. Hallelujah. I believe the word. What do we do in a hard place? We hold fast to our faith. We stand fast. We let patience. Now, we talked about faith yesterday. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about patience. We let patience have its perfect work. Now, one of the things that I said today was in a hard place, 2 Corinthians 13:5, and in the Amplified, it says, examine yourselves in a test and a trial and not God. Just take it for granted forever. Know that if things are not working, it is not God's part. It's not His responsibility. It's something you and I are doing, are saying, are acting. It's some unbelief. And besides that, here's another issue. Sometimes it just takes time. I mean, you know, Ken and I have been borrowing money for years and years. And to get out in 11 months was pretty good. Hallelujah. You know, you might have been, I've been paying for your car for 20 months. Now you're believing to pay it off. And it didn't happen in 6 weeks. Well, you just hold fast to your profession of faith. That hold fast. Get a grip on those words. Hold fast. When you pray based on the Word of God, even if things look contrary and it's been a while, you hold fast to the Word and your confession. You keep saying, it is done. This car is paid off. And don't say it'll be paid off. Say it is paid off. I call it like I want it. Car, my car is paid off. My body is healed. Jesus bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases. And by His stripes, I was healed. Yeah, but I still got this pain. And then you want to call everybody and tell them, I've got this pain. I'm hurting. I'm this. I'm that. No, shut your big blab mouth. If you can't say something in faith, just shut up. But it's better to say something in faith, but do not say anything in unbelief. Yeah, but it's been so long. Well, how long would it have been if you hadn't used your faith? It'll never happen, maybe, if you don't use your faith. So we stand fast. And then another thing we can say is, Lord, if I'm missing it somewhere, show me, because I know You never miss it. And I know faith works. And I know faith works by love. And love is a good place to look when things aren't working. Are you walking in love? Well, what is love? Love is not, this is the Amplified version of the part about love in Corinthians. Love is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when truth and right prevail. I might have left out something, I don't know, but that's close. One of the key things is, and especially for us girls, is it's not touchy, fretful, or resentful. Glory to God. We kind of want to be treated better than, you know, everybody else. Not everybody else, but with that husband or with that, that husband. You shouldn't be living with anybody else. With that husband. I wouldn't say significant other. That's not a valid Bible description. But with that husband, we expect a little petting, a little, stroking. Oh, you're so sweet. You're so wonderful. Glory to God. That's all I'm going to say about that. And love, so now we're into patience. So let's look at, I was going to read that quote by Andrew Murray. And he's talking about running the race of faith. Let us run. The gospel is intensely practical and means for every day, let us run like men who are running a race for life and laying aside everything that can in the least hinder them. Now that is a great word from Andrew Murray. Lay aside everything. We're running in a race. We've got opponents. We've got Satan. We've got all the devils. We've got opponents. We've got people that don't like us, talk bad about us. But We're in a race. We don't have time to stop and listen to what they're saying. We don't have time to be hindered in this race. Let us run, he said. The gospel is intensely practical and means for every day, let us run like men who are running a race for life and laying aside everything that can in the least hinder them. So anything that hinders us, we lay it aside. We judge everything by one standard, Brother Murray said. Can it help me win the race? Glory to God. We are in a race. We're racing down here. We're racing to up there. Hallelujah. We've got a set time to live. Not that God says you're going to live 50, you're going to live 60, you're going to live 70, but we have a lifetime here on the earth that we can serve God in a way that we'll never again have that just that same opportunity. When you get to heaven, you're not going to have any choice. There won't be good and bad for you to choose and give glory to the Lord by dumping the bad and choosing the good. It's going to all be good. So you really can bring honor to God and serve Him in a way right here in this body, in a way you're not going to be able to do it after you leave, because after you leave the body, it's going to be great. There's not going to be any challenges. There's not going to be any tribulation. Glory to God for that. That's why it's called heaven and days of heaven on the earth. So we can give God honor in a way, in a different way than ever later in the age that we can do. Hallelujah. As long as we're here on the earth, we can walk a straight line. We can walk circumspectly. We can walk obediently. We can turn down things that are not pleasing to God. And we can obey God, do what He says. Hallelujah. Get some stars in our crown. Glory to God. There's a reward up there, you know, for what you do for Him in this body. Glory to God. And you'll be glad. I mean, you know, when you see your mansion, you're going to be so glad it's all decked out. And you don't want to come up to this beautiful mansion and go in the door and it's somebody else's house. No, it's your house. We don't want to have to go to the servants' quarters to live. No. Glory to God. Think about heaven. You know, you're just here 120 years. And then you're in heaven for eternity. So look like for 120 years we could do what God says, and all the time preparing our life in eternity. How do you do that? Well, you get in the Word. You find out what it says. You obey God, you honor God with your words. You never talk bad about God. I don't know why God is letting this happen to me. God's not letting that happen to you. You're letting it happen to you. The Scripture teaches us we have authority. We have the name of Jesus. And in His name, we're supposed to cast out devils, not live with them. I wasn't talking about your husband or your wife. I'm talking about devils. Amen? Demonic spirits, hallelujah. Glory. I just didn't want you to misunderstand that. So the Scripture says, examine yourselves for us to examine ourselves, not God. Glory to God. And that Andrew Murray described it as running in a race, intensely practical, means for every day. I enjoy reading after him anyway. Let us live like men who are running a race for life and laying aside everything that can in the least hinder them. We judge ourselves, we judge everything by one standard. Can it help me in the race? Glory to God. When you're making your decisions about how to live, what to do, what to say, you know, any decision, think about the, can it help me in the race? Is this good for my spiritual life? Like, for instance, you might be living in a place that's got a great church that feeds you, a faith church. You go, and when you get out, you feel lifted, you feel informed, you feel your faith is rising up. But now you get offered a job somewhere that pays more money, but there's not a faith church within 100 miles of there. Where will you be better off? Will you be better off where you're fed and your faith is fed? Or will you be better off with a couple of hundred more dollars a month? Well, it could be, you know, it's possible that God wants you somewhere, and that's a different story. But if you're moving because of money, I wouldn't move away from that good church. That church, that pastor that preaches the word of faith, he'll put more money in your pocket just by listening to his scriptures and his sermons. We should be so word conscious that that's one of the most important things to consider when moving to a new area. Is there a good faith church there? Is there somewhere where I can get fed spiritually? Would you want to live in a place, even if somebody gave you a couple of thousand dollars more a month? Would you want to live in a place that there was no grocery store? Where you couldn't buy food? No, you'd think, well, gee, I'd like that, but we got to eat. Well, that's the way it is spiritually. You don't want to live in a place where there's no church unless you're called to build one. You got to eat spiritually. If you'll eat spiritually, you'll eat physically. But you can eat physically and not eat spiritually and be in great trouble. Oh, I tell you, I've never said that before, but that is very wise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we're talking today about patience. Look at, believe it or not, that's what we're talking about. Look at Hebrews 10:35. Look at 33. He talked about David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword out of weakness, were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, it turned to flight the enemies, the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised again to life, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Who through faith did these things? Now, that's when Andrew Murray said, let us run. Let us run the race, laying aside everything that can in any way hinder us. And judge everything by this one standard. Can it help me win the race? Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to walk by faith. We're going to be Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run. Now, this is talking to you and me, church. We've been talking about faith. Now we're going to talk about what goes with faith, and that's patience. Let us run the race with patience. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We are going to run the race with patience. Now, faith and patience, I believe this is what Brother Hagin, somebody used to say that, I think it's Brother Hagin, he called these the power twins, faith and patience. Faith without patience will quit. Patience without faith doesn't have anything to make it work. It just endures. It doesn't have any creative force. Faith is the creative force. But when you get faith, the creative force, and patience, the fruit of powerful endurance, you got something. Because everything doesn't work instantly. Sometimes it takes a while. If you're believing to get out of debt, you might not get out by the next day. You might have to work at it. You might have to do it a little bit at a time. That's what we did. But it didn't take too long. The point was that we got out and stayed out. Hallelujah. So faith and patience. Now I'm going to read you some things. We're going to look at some scriptures. about patience. It's a fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. Self-control, I forgot one, but anyway, patience is the main temperance, self-control. Patience is the thing we're working with here. Run the race with patience, and we have a fruit of the Spirit inborn into us called patience. And the scripture says, let patience have a perfect work. Faith works, but it doesn't always work instantly. Why is that? Well, you think about it. You've been all these years creating this mess. It takes a little while. It might take a little while for faith to get you out of it. It took us 11 months to get out of debt when we decided to get out of debt. But was it worth it? Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was worth it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we're gonna look at patience. Hebrews 10:35, who through 33 says, David, Samuel, the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, who through faith did these things, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, glory to God. 39 says, all of these having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Then it goes right into 12 and it says, wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses that have gone on before us, let us lay aside every weight, everything that holds us back from running this race, let us lay it aside, and the sin which so easily besets us, let us run with patience, endurance, not quitting, not giving up, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Consider him when you get in a hard place. Consider him, what he's done for you, what he went through for you, what he did so that you could be free. Hallelujah. So patience. Hebrews, did I read Hebrews 10:35? Let's look at that. I don't know if I did or not. Cast not away. Now they're in affliction here. They're in a test and a trial. I won't read all of it. But it says in 34, for you had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. So they were in a hard place. Somebody was messing them up. Knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and more enduring substance. They were being persecuted. And he's saying, now you know there's more to come. This is not the end. You have in heaven a better, more enduring substance. Now listen to this in 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. In a test, in a trial, things don't always come easy. Healing doesn't always come easy. Why doesn't it? I don't know. It's not always instant, but it's always God's will. It'll always come in Jesus' name. Money doesn't always come in the next 24 hours. Things don't happen. I mean, we might have taken years getting in this shape. It might take a little while to get out. So we don't quit. What do? Even if we don't understand, what is it, Lord? We say, Lord, is there something I can do? Am I doing something to hold this up? Give me wisdom on it. If I'm missing you, if I'm not doing something, I want you to tell me, and you trust God for that. And in the meantime, you hold fast to your confession or your profession of faith. You hold fast to the Word of God. If you're standing on the Word to get out of debt, you hold fast to that. You say, I believe we've received. We are debt free. These bills are paid off. Every time you get a bill that you're believing to get paid off, you lay your hands on it and say, I call you paid in full. In Jesus' name. You're paid off. Speak to things. Well, you said people laugh at me. You don't have to do it in front of anybody. They won't laugh at you when you're out of debt. Go ahead and do it. If we waited till everybody would agree with us before we did anything, we'd never do anything. Because most people in the world are in doubt and unbelief. They're not in faith. Now in here, most people in here are in faith. But we're not, as our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers know, we ain't normal people. They're faith people, you know. They're faith people. You know, they believe God's going to heal their body. Yes, we do. Hallelujah. Amen. So here's what we do. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Your faith. That could be your faith. Cast not away your faith. Don't in a test, in a trial, when things don't seem to be happening as fast as you want them to. Don't quit. Stay on the word. Keep confessing those scriptures that cover that thing. And don't quit. No, stay confident in the word of God. And here's the thing that God's given us to help us. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience. So we know we're going to need patience. We wouldn't need patience if everything worked instantly. But this says you have need of patience after you've done the will of God. So when we're not getting results as quick as we think we ought to, and we've done the will of God, it doesn't mean we've missed it. We've done the will of God. It means that things are working, but they're not quite through yet. Could have taken, took us years to get in debt that much. Took us 11 months to get out. That's not bad. And we didn't know very much about anything. So this says, you have need of patience after you've done the will of God, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So we believe we're faith people, but we also have to be patience people. Because sometimes it takes patience. But once you understand that, you can do it. It says, let me read it all again together now. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence or your boldness of faith, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Now, in between now, we've released our faith, and between that time and the time he comes, now the just shall live by faith. What is faith? You can't see. Faith is when you believe God, but you can't see anything with these natural eyes except the word of God that gives it to you. Faith is not being moved by what you see or hear or feel. Faith is being moved by what the word says. Faith is believing the word. Patience is what undergirds our faith to keep us intact so that we don't faint and give up in a hard place. Amen. Glory to God. Are Terry and Alan still here today? Alan Crider and Terry, they were here earlier in the meeting. They may have gone home. Alan had a terrible thing come into his life physically. And I mean that, Terry, she fought for him. He was dying. And she fought for him day and night. She stood on that word. She had her scriptures. She just wouldn't let Alan die. And you may have noticed them. They were sitting over here. Alan is up walking now. And he walks a little slow, but he's up walking. And I'm telling you the truth, that man wouldn't be alive if that woman hadn't stood for him day and night and just not let him die. See, that's patience, having her perfect work. Things don't always come out like we think they should, but we can always have victory if we'll walk with faith and let patience have her perfect work, that we be entire and wanting nothing. Patience is a mighty force. We are, verse 39 says, well, let me read it all together. Now the just shall live by faith. Faith is when you believe and you can't see natural things. You see the word of God, but you can't see the answer. You don't know how it's coming. You're just trusting God. You're believing God. Now the just shall live by trusting God or faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now look at the next verse in chapter 11. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance. Substance. That's tangibility. See it, feel it, drive it, wear it, eat it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How do we know we have it? We see it in the Word of God. We take it by faith. We have it. Faith is our evidence. If it takes patience, we have patience. Glory to God. And we yield our patience as a fruit of the Spirit. We yield the patience, but we have it. We have it. We have it. We believe we receive our healing. We feed on the Word. If I were in that situation and I believed I received my healing and it didn't come when I thought it should, and before that even, I would be taking the Word of God in my eyes and ears every day and getting it in my heart. So the Bible calls that the Word of God, God's medicine. It's healing to our flesh. It's medicine to our flesh. And we take in that Word. Now what we need to do is get smart enough to stay in the Word when we're well. Put the Word of God in our eyes, in our ears when we're feeling good. We don't just go to the Bible when we have a pain or when we can't pay the bills or we're in trouble. No, if we'll live in the Word day by day, feed our heart, put it in our eyes, in our ears, get it into our heart, say the Word out our mouth, we can keep control over our circumstances. Why? Because we're exercising faith. Faith has authority over everything. That's faith, assuming that you're acting in the will of God, has authority over everything in the natural realm. We know it's God's will for you to be healed because Jesus himself bore your sicknesses and carried your diseases. There can never be any doubt. Is it God's will for me to be healed? Yes, healing's in the Bible in lots of different places. The Word brings healing to us. There's healing in the Word. So, and what about finances? Well, the Lord, did you know that in the Garden of Eden, there was not even a Walmart? And yet, Adam and Eve lacked for nothing. They got up, they didn't even need clothes until after sin came. I mean, they didn't have to work. They didn't have B.O., I'm sure. They were happy campers, weren't they? And until they disobeyed God and fell, and they became natural people, They didn't even have to have clothes. The glory of the Lord was on them like God clothed them like he clothed himself, I believe. But then they fell. And now they disobeyed God. What did they say? What did God say? The day you eat, you'll surely die. So the day they ate of the wrong tree, now they weren't hungry. They had plenty of food. They had other trees. I mean, it probably tasted like ice cream, all that stuff on those trees. But they couldn't let that one tree alone. He said, don't eat. The day you eat, you'll surely die. Well, they didn't die physically, but they died spiritually. And now they're afraid of God. They were created in the likeness of God. And they could fellowship with God in the cool of the day. And they could come into his presence and feel at ease. But when they fell, they died spiritually. And now they're not like God. And so they couldn't, what did they do? They hid from him. God's come and run. He'll know we've been doing something bad. But the good news is, when we got born again, we got rid of that sin. We got rid of Adam and Eve's sin when we got born again. From that, from the garden, after they sinned, sin passed to all men. But now Jesus came and paid the price for us and took sin in his own spirit, in his own body, and paid the price for that sin and disobedience. And when we made Jesus the Lord of our lives, we were, what? Born over again. See, that's not just something. That's not just something so you can put on Christmas cards or something. We were born over again because Jesus took our sin in his own body on the tree, the scripture says. And he was made a curse for us so that we could be blessed. Hallelujah. Now, tomorrow we're going to have healing school. And we know that every sickness and every disease, not tomorrow, Saturday, we're going to have healing school. Thank you for your help and correction. Tomorrow we're going to have, Saturday we're going to have healing school. And we're going to be active on the fact that Jesus redeemed us from the curse. And the fact that the scripture says every sickness and every disease is under that curse. Well, if you want to know the truth, every bad thing is under the curse. When we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives, it puts us back in the garden before sin came. And if we know enough about the Word of God to expect our needs to be met, our physical needs to be met, we can live in plenty and blessing in every way. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, Ken and I were poverty stricken. We were in debt. We didn't have money to pay our bills. When we began to find out that our God meets our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And with 11 months, we were out of debt. And we were moving. We were gaining. Glory to God. The banks were out of our hair. And that was before people used credit cards a lot. You had a gas card and that was about it. Oh, that was salvation in a red package not to have a MasterCard in those days because we couldn't run it up, you know. We didn't have one. Hallelujah. So we did without what we didn't have and we tried our best to do something, but we weren't moving in the Word. Once we got hold of the fact that it was God's will for us to prosper, it changed everything. It was like the same thing that happened when we got hold of the fact that Jesus bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. Well, what was that? That was part of the curse. Sickness and disease and death was part of the curse, and poverty in the scripture was a curse. It was a curse. And he bore the whole curse for us. And when we found that out, we started to prosper. And you'll prosper too if you'll take hold of it. And we got out of debt and we stayed out of debt. Glory to God. Did it slow us down? No, not really. You know, being a female, the thing I wanted, of course, was a home. Well, I believed God for a good while before I got that home. But there was a day that I walked in the door, lived in the house, just what I wanted. Everything in it was just what I wanted. No restrictions. Hallelujah. Was it worth it? And it was paid for. Was it worth it? Yes, it was absolutely worth it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And not having debt, it's a marvelous thing not to want to run away from the mailbox. I remember when we couldn't pay our bills. We couldn't pay a light bill or a little dab of a bill. It's not that way anymore. Why? Because we started acting and believing on the Word of God. We became tithers and sowers. If you're not tithing, you're missing it. Tithing gets God involved in your finances. And that's the part. You know, I'm sure that God could get along without any of us. But he's given us an opportunity to tithe, to sow to him, to believe God, to bring our tithe and worship him so that he can be in our lives in blessing. Financially, hallelujah. Glory to God. God doesn't need my little dab of tithe, but thank God he'll receive it and I'll be blessed.
Awesome.
It's an awesome privilege. We should thank God every day that he would receive our tithe. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't say, oh, no, do I have to tithe? No, you don't have to. You don't even have to prosper. You can just keep beating your brains out doing what you're doing, trying to get ahead by yourself. But I'm telling you, it's a bummer. How many remember what it was like when you were doing it on your own without God's help? Do you want to go back there? Okay, me either. No, 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 no. So let patience have her perfect work. Faith takes, patience keeps. Patience is that force, that fruit of the Spirit that undergirds our faith, keeps us from giving up, gives us the ability to stand. Hallelujah. We believed God to get out of debt. We did it within 11 months. Well, we could have given up after 6 months. Because there were a lot of things we needed, and in those days you went to the department store and you charged it. Not many credit cards floating around. We could have said, well, you know, Kenya really need this new suit. Your other one's just shiny, it looks so bad. Let's just go down to so-and-so and buy you a suit and charge it. But we didn't do that because we were sold out to this idea of being out of debt after we saw it in the Word of God. Debt in the Word is a curse. Owing and being in debt in the blessing and the curse, it's a curse, and having plenty is the blessing. So let's take the blessing, hallelujah. Say, well, yeah, but it's too late for me. I'm in so much debt now. If you start believing God, God will help you. After all, it's His will for you to be debt-free. It's His will for Him to be your source. And really, you know, that's what a lot of it is. We do things, we might go down and buy, somebody might go down and buy a new car. They've been believing for a car, but it hadn't come when they thought, so they go down and buy one on credit like they used to do. That's unbelief. That's backing up. That's not the way you get translated from one system to the other system. We drove an old car for a while. An old car. It was a good old car, though. It never did leave us by the side of the road. Hallelujah. Was it worth it? Yeah, it was worth it. So start practicing. If you want to get out of debt and you don't know how, just start knocking those bills out one at a time and believe in God. Go to the Word, stand on the Scripture to get out of debt. And have patience. That's what we're really talking about, but we seem to be settled in on debt. And pay off, a bill at a time. And just keep going. Don't buy anything. Yeah, but, you know, I need some new clothes. Wear your old clothes. Drive your old car. Get out of debt. Trust God. Let Him give you a better job with more money. Hallelujah. Let Him send an old dog with a bag full of money in his mouth. That's what Brother Hagin used to say. He said, now if this old dog comes up to your house and he's got a bag full of money in his mouth, well, take the money before you send him out. Something like that. I don't know. That might not have been the right story. When I get back to the room, Ken will say, you didn't tell that story right. Well, it was something about an old dog dragging up money. I don't know. It's tough being married to a preacher. I'm telling you the truth. I think you ought to know everything. So faith, let patience have her perfect work, that you be entire wanting nothing. Faith gives substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. That's faith, confidence. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise that he shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them who believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance. Put those two things together. Faith is the substance. Now, what does that mean? Well, faith is the tangibility of the things we need. Faith is the substance of the things we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. For it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made with hands of things which do appear. And by faith Abel, by faith Enoch. Verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then there is Noah by faith, Abraham by faith. If they got anything done for God, they did it by faith. If we get anything done for God, we'll do it by faith. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews 10. I'm going to close quick. Pretty quick. Hebrews 10:35 says, where is it? Well, I read that. Cast not away your confidence. And through 11:3. So we've read that. That's patience. Faith takes, patience keeps. Faith and patience. Ken has, I don't know if we still have these around, but he used to have a sermon that we'll call the Power Twins. Faith and patience. Yes. Faith is now. If it's not now, it's not faith. If you say, I believe I'm going to be healed, that's hope. Faith says, I am healed. By his stripes, I was healed. That's faith. Hallelujah. If you haven't received when you pray or say, you don't have it. Faith believes it receives when it prays. You take it. In other words, that's what receive means. You take it when you pray. If you're asking for something and you take it by faith when you pray, you don't leave there and let the phone ring and say, well, I'm still, you know, I'm not feeling very good. Well, you just took your healing. You can't say, I don't feel good, I'm sick. That's not faith. You just undid your prayer. If you believe you receive a house or a car or whatever, and you make your petition out, you pray based on the word of God, you believe you receive it in Jesus' name, or you take it by faith in the name of Jesus, a month goes by, 2 months go by, somebody says, well, what about your new car? Well, I didn't get it. I prayed, but nothing happened. No, you say, I believed I've received it in the name of Jesus. Don't back up. Don't be ashamed of saying, I believed I received it. That's faith. But don't say you didn't get it. Because then you dig up your seed. You dig up your faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. And it takes patience. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And listen to this. I'm going to close with this word. It's getting late. I told you that faith is substance, faith takes, patience keeps, faith is now. If you haven't received it when you pray or say, you don't have it. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Why? Because you didn't get anything. You didn't pray in faith. Faith is what causes things to come to pass. By faith, God created the world. He said, let there be, let there be, let there be light. Let there be this, let there be that. He spoke those words in faith and they came into being. Well, he's just a little more advanced than we are. But it works for us. If we be like God, we'll get it. Hallelujah. It might take us a little longer than instantly. We love instantly, but usually things, you know, we've gotten things in such a shape that it takes God. He has to unravel all that stuff. So God, here's a scripture. You know, Mark 11, we know that our words count. I want to read you this scripture about your words, and then we might quit. We might quit. But this is just so, this just knocked me out almost. I thought this was so striking. I never have forgotten it since I found it in the Word of God, because we had been taught that you can have what you say. That's one of the best faith messages that Brother Hagin ever preached. And it got over to us. He said, you can have what you say. The Bible says you can have what you say, and you're saying what you have. See, it's our faith speaking. When we speak words, we're saying, bring it on. Bring this on. If we speak faith words, we're saying, bring this faith blessing now. If we speak unbelief words, we're saying, we're not going to have any blessing now. Let this unbelief come to pass. You could just as well say that. It's what you say is what you get. Now, Psalm 139 in verse 4 says, but this will straighten your day out, really. For there, let's just look at verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. The Lord knows you inside and out. There's not anything about you that he doesn't know. Thou knowest my down sittings and mine uprisings. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my... Thou compassest my path, surrounds my path, and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. The Lord knows exactly who we are, what we believe, where our faith is, where our reliance is, where our loyalty is. Now look at verse 4. Sobering thought here. For there is not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. That's an awesome thought. You need to get a grip on that. The Lord knows every word you say. So what do we find out about faith? It says, say what you want. It says, say, say, say. You can have what you say, Mark says. Isn't that awesome? That's kind of scary, isn't it? The Lord knows every word. So what should we do? We should say faith words. We should say, I believe I receive my healing. I believe I receive my house. I believe I receive the car I need. I command that car to come to me in the name of Jesus. Then the next day you say, it's not going to work. I should have known that. You know, the devil will beset you with doubt and unbelief. When that happens, just rebuke him. Say, get out of my face. I'm not listening. I bind you in the name of Jesus, you lying devil. You got to talk to the devil. He understands words. But he has no compassion. So we have to help him. And we have to say, get out. What does the Bible say about it? Resist him. Resist him and he'll flee from you. God knows every word you say. And Mark 11, 22 through 24 says that we get what we say. So when we talk faith, God hears it. When we talk doubt, God hears it. So what's the answer? Talk. Faith. How do you do that? You keep the word going in your eyes, in your ears. You get it in your heart. You speak it out your mouth. You let patience have her perfect work. Just let me read you a few things about, give me just a few more minutes. Patience. Because that's really my subject today, and I got off on faith. Patience. Here is a definition. An even temper, forbearance, long-suffering. Patience is the quality. Patience, this is such a great definition. Patience is the quality that does not surrender to circumstances or succumb under trial. It is the opposite of despondency and is associated with hope. Hallelujah. Isn't that a great definition? Patience is the quality that does not surrender to circumstances. No matter what circumstances looks like, patience stays on the Word of God. Patience says, I believe I receive it. Patience says, I have it according to the Word of God. Patience says, I'm healed when I feel sick. Patience says, I'm blessed when I can't pay my bills. Patience doesn't quit. Patience doesn't succumb to circumstances, glory to God, or surrender. It's the opposite of despondency and is associated with hope. Let me read Hebrews 10:35 in this New Living Translation. This is the one I read in my daily readings. I like this one so much. Hebrews 10:35. Did you get that, daily readings? You need to do that daily. Hallelujah. Oops, I'm looking. Here's what it says in the New Living Translation. It's talking about, had been talking about remaining faithful even if, you know, hard times are there. 35 says, do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. No matter what happens, don't let your faith fail you. Keep it in your mouth. Don't throw away. Don't be impatient. Do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord no matter what happens. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now. So from the time you pray in faith until the time you see it with your eyes manifested, you have to stay in faith and you need patience. Patient endurance is what you need now. So you will continue to do the will of God, and then you will receive all that He has promised. And then it quotes scripture, another scripture, saying, for in just a little while the coming one will come and not delay, and a righteous person will live by faith. Faith is the normal life for those of us who have been born again. If you haven't been born again, you need to do it. Faith is our normal life. A righteous person will live by faith. But I will have no pleasure in anyone who turns away. And then, let me just keep reading through a little bit here. But we are not like those who turn their backs on God and seal their fate. Ooh, that's a scary thought, isn't it? We have faith that assures our salvation. Hebrews 11:1. What is faith? Faith is confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. God gave His approval to people in days of old because of their faith. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we see now did not come from anything that can be seen. Everything we see with our eyes, every tree, everything buildings are made out of, everything comes from faith. Out of God's mouth, let there be so-and-so, let there be. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain. God accepted Abel's offering and to show that he was a righteous man. And although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his faith, or because of his faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. Ooh, that's a trip, isn't it? Suddenly, he disappeared because God took him. Man. But before he was taken up, he was approved as pleasing to God. One of these days, and I believe I'll live to see it, and I believe you will too, we're going to be taken up into heaven. Amen. Glory to God. People are going to look around, and they're going to say, what happened to that bunch of crazy people? They're all gone. What happened to the people in that church down there? Those lights never come on anymore. There were 3,000 people that went to that church. What happened to them? Do you know? No, I don't know. But you know, I knew my aunt just disappeared like that. That's what they'll say. Or my uncle just disappeared like that. Or my mother disappeared like that. I don't know what happened to them. Just all at once, all those crazy people were gone. Yeah, right. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. Suddenly he disappeared because God took him. But before he was taken up, he was approved as pleasing to God. And so you see, it's impossible to please God without faith. Now that's a mouthful. You got to be a faith person. It's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that He is, must believe that there is a God, and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. And then he began the Hall of Fame here. It was by faith Noah. It was by faith Abraham. And so on and so on. It was by faith that the men of old were blessed and went up to be in heaven and fulfill their call and got the ark built and got the covenant cut with God, hallelujah, the father of our faith, Abraham. And it's by faith you and I'll do these things. And it's with patience. It takes patience to undergird our faith so that we don't quit. Patience, forbearance, power. Patience means to suffer long, to guard up under pressure. In other words, if you have to wait, you wait in patience. If it doesn't happen today, you wait in patience and you don't give up. You don't say it's not working. You just say, I believe I receive it, and you keep moving. Keep moving. Don't give up. Don't quit. Patience means to gird up under pressure, to remain steadfast. Glory to God. It includes the idea of forbearance and patient endurance under ill treatment. Patience springs from love. Love endures long. Now, I don't know where I got this, but I didn't make it up. Patience springs from love. And here's how. Love endures long. You know the Bible says this. Love endures long and is patient and kind. So patience comes out of love. Because we love God, we're patient with Him. Because we love people, we're patient with them. Love is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. It takes no account of evil done to it. Love springs from God, and other fruit, like patience, springs from love. Patience is from two words, long and temper. The word denotes lenience. This is the way we are. We're lenient. Forbearance, we're forbearing. Fortitude, we stand up under everything. It's patient endurance, long-suffering, also is included in the ability to endure persecution and ill treatment. If you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, Ken and I have had some of that because we believe the word, preach the word. And I remember early on when we were, years and years ago, maybe it was the first book that came out or something. Anyway, it was a long time ago. I was in our little office, and I read this letter, and they were just, oh, man, it was a mean letter, you know. And this was kind of new because we were just beginning to get exposed. And I remembered what the scripture said about persecution. And you know it says in one translation, it says, jump for joy when men speak evil of you for my sake. I remembered that. So I got up from my desk and I just began to jump up and down, praise the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah, I'm jumping for joy because I'm being persecuted for the word's sake. And you know, to tell you the truth, people have said terrible things about Kenneth and me. But did you know it's never bothered us? I mean, we don't particularly like it. But we know wherein we stand. We know the Word of God. We know that the Word works. And to be actually, when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, it's an honor. When you're persecuted, when people persecute you because of your stand on the Word, because you believe in healing, because you pray for the sick, because you believe the Bible, rejoice. You're blessed. Blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. Satan, that's about all he has. You know, when you begin to prosper, when your church begins to prosper and people begin to come, you're the pastor, people begin to come to that church, and maybe some of them come out of other churches, and that creates some problems. And so people begin to persecute you, say bad things about you. Rejoice, hallelujah. Things are working. Persecution doesn't hurt us. We're tough. We know the word. We know what the Bible says. We know we're right. If we're doing something, we've got it from the scripture, and we're not going to receive and let persecution bother us. Oh, persecution over the 100-fold return? Man, that stirred people up. But it sure is nice. You know, it's worth it. I mean, 100-fold return's worth it. Glory to God. So if people speak bad of you, just pray for them, love them. Don't pay any attention to them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Patience comes from the word that means long and temper. The word denotes lenience, forbearance, fortitude, patient endurance, long suffering. Also included is the ability to endure persecution and ill treatment. So when you're being persecuted or treated ill because of the word's sake, not because you did some dumb thing, but because of the word's sake, just let it roll right off of you and say, Lord, I count it all joy. Glory to God. You have the power to exercise revenge, but instead, Strong says, you exercise restraint. And the Bible says, here's a cure for persecution. Pray for those who use and persecute you. Because they're going to need it. If you're right and they're persecuting you, they're going to need prayer. So pray for those who use and persecute you. And don't let it move you off your walk. Move you off your goal. Slow you down. You can just keep going in the direction that God's called you to do, doing what He's called you to do, preaching, praying, laying hands on the sick, believing for prosperity. We got more persecution over believing for prosperity than anything else. Was it worth it? Yeah, it was. I like prosperity. Hey, man, I'd trade persecution for prosperity any day. I wouldn't trade away my prosperity if I'm right with God. If somebody does accuse you, says ugly things about you, says you're not doing this right or wrong, well, check out with the Word and be sure they're not right. But if you know you're obeying the Word and you're walking in the light as He is in the light, then just let it roll off of you like water off of a duck's back. Glory to God. People in throughout the Bible, the saints of God, those that were closest to God, those that were connected with God, including Jesus Himself, were persecuted. Jesus had much persecution, and He was absolutely right. Glory to God. So we're strong, we're able, we're full of faith. We don't let things like that knock us out. I'm talking about you and me. We don't let things like that knock us out. If people don't treat us right, we pray for them and forget it. Glory to God. And what happens? Well, we go free. We just go free. We don't let it bug us. I mean, I tell you it works because we've had to do a lot of that. But it never bothered us, really. It would probably bother me if Ken said something bad about me, but he doesn't. So there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And we let patience undergird our faith, and it keeps us steady. It keeps us going down the straight path, hallelujah. Not going to the right or to the left, but listening and obeying and doing. And all the time we're doing faith, we're increasing. It's not a bad deal. Had you rather be broke and nobody talking about you? Or had you rather be successful, prosperous, blessed in every cycle, even if people did say things about you? I'm going for the blessing. Glory to God.